We had we were discussing something at work the last time, my last bar shift there.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. Cave Troll has left the company. I am no longer working with him. Thank fucking God, I can tell you what I think of you now.
It never stopped you
what
before.
Were we talking about the human rights stuff?
Well, no, we were talking about bullying, and we were discussing that theory as to whether or not what could possibly stop bullying in schools, because there's been that whole, you know, pink shirt thing, and
yeah, because wearing a pink shirt would stop me from picking the crap out of somebody.
Yeah. I thought it'd be a good thing to bring to the round table of idiots, you know, like, because I think a few of us got picked on in high school.
Every person got picked on in high school. The question is whether or not how you took it. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is, and what you came away with from it.
Well, I think a big problem in today's society, there's no release mechanism aside from drinking yourself to an early grave, which is a kind of a common tendency in high school.
Bullshit.
Or whining about it on Facebook. Yeah. Like, why don't you pity me? Yeah.
There's lots of things you can do.
But the society isn't structured the way that people think about it. It's a problem more than just people picking other people. It's how people deal with it. And like, when I was in high school, if somebody's fucking with you, you have no recourse inside the school itself. Absolutely none. Mm-hmm. If someone physically beats on you and you defend yourself, you're eligible for expulsion from the school.
Yeah.
And if you go to the administration seeking help, they will more often not do anything because they could risk offending the parents, which creates a legal conundrum for them.
Okay, when it comes to defending yourself, and I've always said this, it's easier to beg forgiveness than to ask permission.
But in school, it doesn't work like that. If you lose your education, you're fucked.
That's why you wait till when they're leaving the school and you get off property and beat the fuck out of them then.
No. And this has been brought up before in rant media, is that what you do is you go and you get a lawyer and you go back to the school and you're like, "Hi, I'm being beaten and it's your fault. What do you intend to do about it?" And I liked that. I think Sean came up with that. I, however, am more of the tactical solution of giving...
Oh, no, you don't.
Of giving kids an outlet in the school.
No. Only one pussy allowed at the table at a time.
My cat is trying to climb up on the table.
A lot of this is done with sports.
Yeah.
This is a seriously obese cat.
Yeah. He weighs 23 pounds.
That's a big pussy.
You just love saying that, don't you?
I'm
Earthquake
to
preparedness
say
kit
it.
On legs. Nom.
Anyhow.
He hates you.
You're losing clothes over there.
Shazam.
You have to stop saying Shazam.
You really do.
Actually, I think it's great. God knows it's going to be one of the catchphrases for this fucking show.
It's going to scare the shit out of me, though, if lightning strikes him and he turns into Captain Marvel.
I was thinking the same thing. I
didn't get that joke either.
Well, it's funny enough, when it comes to the actual administration in school and that, funny enough, I was actually bullied by the administration at my school.
So what?
Yep.
How does that work?
I remember this. It was a little... anybody who knew me in high school, I was always, you know, outcast, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. For me, and this was pre-Columbine, mind you. Mm. I always wore a black trench coat mm-hmm. at school. And the administration came up to me, I believe it was the vice principal at the time, came up to me, this was my senior year, so yeah, it was my grade 12 year, last year in school, he comes up to me, and he says, "You gotta take that coat off." I'm like, "Excuse me?" He's like, "You have to take that coat off, you can never wear it here again." "Okay, you mind giving me an explanation to why?" "Nope, you can just never wear it here again." He did this like in the middle of the hallway, in front of everybody. Right, and so no explanation to it whatsoever.
So he's basically asking for his authority to be undermined.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He's
I love it when they do that.
And I promptly told him to go fuck himself and walked off. This was during break period and in between classes. About 5 minutes into my next class, I get called down. Now they are going to expel me from the school. They also threaten to not allow me to graduate.
For wearing a coat.
For for wearing...
Well, telling the teacher to fuck off probably didn't help your case much either.
But... It didn't, but this school has no dress code whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It has... Well, it has a dress code at that time, at least anyways. Nothing promoting alcohol, drugs, blah, 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 profanities. Yeah, offensive things.
Or sex.
Just that was it. This was a regular black duster coat. It wasn't even a trench coat. It was a duster coat, for fuck's sake. And he's going to expel me.
I remember that coat. It was yep. sweet.
He was going to expel me and not allow me to graduate because I would not take this coat off. And because he wouldn't give... the only reason I wouldn't do it, I had a pretty good idea, but he would not give me an explanation.
And what was it about?
It was because of the Columbine shootings.
This was immediately after Columbine.
Immediately after Columbine.
But he was wearing the coat for like two years before Columbine ever came around.
Well, yeah. I don't know if you remember, right after Columbine, there was so many stories in the news of just mind-numbingly stupid behavior from...
It was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, there were kindergarten students suspended for going bang with a piece of chicken.
No, the one other was, there was a kid who was actually... They called the police and had the kid taken out of the school and expelled for pointing his finger at another kid and going bang.
Yeah, I remember that. And I actually, too, used to wear a trench coat for years and years and years. And I used to ride my bike around with my trench coat. I loved my trench coat. It was awesome. I mean, if I...
I had a black duster that I wore all through high school.
Well, that's exactly what mine was. It wasn't even a denim trench coat.
Incidentally, we should get back to your story here as to what exactly you did about it.
Oh, yeah. It didn't take me long, after he continued not to give me an explanation to exactly why he wanted me to remove the coat. But... He started spouting off again for probably the fifth time, just telling me this, that, and the other thing, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'm sending you home for the rest of the day and don't bother coming in on Monday. I'm like, okay, because this was on Friday. This was on Friday afternoon. I was like, okay, well, I'll go home for the rest of the day. I got no problem with that. But I can guarantee you Monday morning, I'm coming back with a lawyer and as much media coverage as I could possibly get. And we'll have a little chat then.
With your trench coat.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, his face went white as soon as I walked out of that office. I believe word had gotten around the school probably in about, 15 minutes or so?
Yeah, it didn't take long in that school.
Travels faster than light in high school.
Yeah, it does. But I hadn't even left the building yet.
It actually has spooky action, if somebody hears something in one room, it immediately is heard in another.
I hadn't even left the building yet when there were at least 20 people who knew me. And I'm talking every circle. You got your jocks, you got your outcasts, you got everybody, every type of circle. Going every age, going down there and vouching for me, asking the vice principal, "What the fuck are you doing?" And funny enough, I was allowed back into school on Monday. It was kind of strange.
Were you wearing your trench coat?
Oh yeah, fuck yeah, I was. Fuck yeah, I was.
I would have worn it instead of a cap and gown at graduation.
That summer, we got all the harassment from the cops.
Yep.
The bike cops, because we used to hang out in the near Douglas Park there.
Yep, exactly.
And for that entire summer,
yep.
It would be like every hour, we'd get searched.
Yep.
Randomly. Mm-hmm. Like the cops would just pull up on their bikes like, all right, up against the wall. And it got to the point where it was like after a month of this, daily, we're like, no. They're like, well, let me see some ID. No. No. Well, you have to, or you're going to get arrested.
Arrest me.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we won World War II, so I don't have to show you my papers.
Yeah, this is in Arizona.
And the thing is this is when a buddy of mine, he got grabbed by the cop, thrown up against the wall.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember.
And there was that other guy that was just randomly there having a coffee, and he gets on the phone, and the cop's like, well, who are you talking to? He's like, it's my uncle. He's the staff sergeant for Surrey. He wants to talk to you. And you see this bike cop's like, uh-huh. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. And we never saw them again. Never saw him again. That was like in July, and we were all back in school. And then, you know,
yeah, well, of a course, months later. Of course, the problem here was you're talking bike cops. So.
It's kind of an oxymoron if you think about it, but yeah.
I don't even think they give them real guns. I just it's like little. Well,
I mean, the first
ding,
part,
ding, ding,
ding. The first part of becoming safety whistles. First part spray. Of becoming a bike cop is they take their balls away.
Well, that's the only way they can fit into the shorts.
But what this all alludes to is that every time something happens in a school, whether it's a shooting or there's a bullying incident where, you know, there was that kid who committed suicide because they were bullied on Facebook, although I still don't believe that actually happened. I think there was other reasons why that happened, probably. Yeah. They just blamed it on that. But
Mayhem, could you take a look? Is the cat actually going after the wires?
Nope, I don't believe so.
Okay, never mind.
You finally learned his lesson.
Okay. So anyhow, exactly. You are talking about, like, we've said it before. We've had this whole thing happen where you have reaction, overreaction, and then finally you have...
But it obfuscates the problem. Yeah. Nobody's willing to touch the problem. Like, everyone wants to solve bullying in schools. But they're so afraid of actually bringing up the topic because everyone's going to light themselves into a flaming Kermit.
Yeah.
All over the fucking... and so no one actually talks about it. Like, an actual solution.
Yeah.
Not everybody, like, banding together and wearing t-shirts and talking about it. And, it's good to have a discussion. Doesn't solve anything.
They did a study. I'm trying to remember what news program it was. It might have been NBC, might have been ABC. They had a couple of kids in the room where they were the test subjects. And then you had, what's the matter?
Nothing.
Continue. Okay, all right. So you had a couple of kids in the room that were the test subjects, and you had a bunch of kids that were actors. And you'd have one kid who would be bullied by everybody else in the group. And they wanted to see what the response was to the test subjects. Would they stand up for the kid? Or would they join in with the bullying and everything? And it was only something like one kid in 50 that actually would stand up and, you know, try to protect the other kid. For the most part, the majority of them would just try to go back into the background. Something like 1 in 10 would actually join in the bullying because they wanted to fit in. That's just human nature. That's what you've got to break if you want to break bullying. Mm-hmm. You're always going to have bullying because we're talking, it's human behavior.
Yeah.
Human beings are nasty fucking apes.
Trying to establish your place in the hierarchy of the herd.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah. And we are. No, that is. It's hierarchy. It's pack mentality.
No, I think the solution to this is to give them another outlet to do this. Give them more competition in schools.
No.
Give them...
better video games.
Well, confidence builders, at least.
Yeah, no, confidence builders, yes. Confidence exercising. And that doesn't mean that everybody wins, boys and girls. That means that...
at least they don't jump off of bridges.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And,
well,
a big thing, too, you have to consider is the structure of the schools themselves. Inside a school environment, the students have zero rights. Absolutely none. The authority of the school itself supersedes your individual rights as a student whenever the authority chooses to exercise them. And this was a relatively recent change. This was in response to Columbine, giving the administration the power to do whatever they want in response to issues. And what happens is when the administration decides they don't want to do anything, they don't do anything. And yes, you can get media attention, but you can't actually seek legal recompense anymore. You can't get a lawyer in and say, you need to do this to solve this problem. They don't have to. They'll do it to avoid bad press under most circumstances, but they're not actually legally required to.
Yeah, you don't have to really sue somebody to get them to change their mind. You just have to scare them into basically thinking that somebody might complain.
Yeah, well, the corporation's been doing that for years. But
Yeah,
I mean, that's what in my experience, I had a guy who was bullying me for 3 years straight, then I beat the shit out of him, and they wanted to expel me for it. Then since my mom was a teacher, I knew school politics like the back of my hand, so I got a whole bunch of other department chairs who knew me to back me up on this, saying, yes, I have complained, this is a long-term problem, the school has done nothing, and they kind of backed away when, you know, the other teachers were turning against them. Mm-hmm. But you have to play their own backroom games to get anything done in a school.
You always do what I did, and that's just kick the crap out of the bullies, and then kind of become one yourself.
And that was, and Desmond, that was 30 years ago, now you get expelled.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I did too. Remember, my first day in school in this country, I got kicked out for 2 weeks.
Yeah. That's a suspension. They will kick you out of school permanently now for things like that.
Yeah, they don't even... It's changed even since I was in high school. Like 10 years ago, I was the lunch. I was the only kid allowed in the entire school to eat my lunch in the library. Like, that's how much of a nerd I was. Okay, but the big gene hit, as it's been said, in grade 10, and I actually grew 4 inches. And that was the summer I switched from playing concert violin to military martial arts. I'm not even joking. And I came back. Some kid picked on me during stagecraft class, and I threw him into the third row off the stage. And the teacher comes in. Anything go wrong? And everybody's like, no.
Yeah, nobody saw nothing.
From then on, I was fighting a guerrilla war that the administration had, you know, couldn't find out. And that was what I was reduced to. And it's amazing to me that that's the lengths that a kid has to go through. Like, you're fighting a war on two fronts, and this is considered normal in today's schools.
There's only two things that I could do, and again, I graduated about 10 years ago myself, and the first was become invisible. Don't talk to anyone, don't respond to anyone if anyone makes a joke in your direction, just kind of smile and pretend you didn't really hear them wave and go back to doing what you're doing. And the second was become scary as fuck.
Yep.
That was when the trench coat came in. That was when, oh, I accidentally brought a Bowie knife to school. Oh, damn, it's so sharp. I better put that somewhere safe in my pocket.
You carried a knife in school?
What? Just once. It was all it took.
Didn't you guys used to hide knives in your school?
We don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
We're not sure about the statute of limitations on that.
Yeah.
I got a boyfriend.
First rule of Fight Club. Don't talk
about Fight Club. Yeah. I got myself a boyfriend who was a year older and was in the military. And
damn, I should have thought of that.
Oh, you stop it.
Actually, I just thought of something. You said that if we're getting hit, you'll get, if you're hitting somebody, you'll get expelled, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, it's simple. If somebody's picking on you, mouth off where everybody can see, get the stupid moron angry enough to throw a punch at you.
Doesn't work.
No, if you defend yourself.
If you're involved in a fight.
Yeah. Yes. Period.
When
period.
I was in grade seven.
So you literally can
get... If you curl up into a fetal position and he starts kicking you on the ground, you're involved in a confrontation and they will expel you both.
Yeah. But this is why the bullying has become now psychological warfare, because everyone has had to become so efficient at being fucking sneaky using the internet.
Yeah,
and
now it's literally all a mental game now.
Yeah, it is. It's a power struggle with words and body language. And that's why kids kill themselves over something that's said on MySpace, because it's not just a couple of things said on MySpace. It's all the looks, it's all the gestures, it's all the... No, it's a constant mind fuck, is what it is.
And given that we've established that, then the only thing you need to do is sharpen your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So unfortunately, every generation gets dumber and dumber.
So nerds, here's how we defend ourselves.
And that's actually a very good point. The nerds are not the ones killing themselves.
No, that's very true.
In schools, it's the jocks, it's the preps, it's the people like that.
I'm not pretty. Yeah.
I'm really. Oh, can I say something? I know this is the nastiest thing I've said recently, but I'm not that sad about that.
Yeah, not really. I'm strangely comfortable.
But here's
with that
the problem.
Idea.
Here's the problem with it. The people who fall into those big archetypes of idiots often do it to avoid the criticism that comes with being a nerd. Like, if you're anyone who isn't part of the social norm, you become a pariah, and a lot of people just can't handle that. Even though that's not really who they are, it's the only way they can survive.
I lived on being a pariah.
Yeah, but not everyone can do that.
Yeah.
Like, maybe less than 5% of people can realistically...
Ah, so you're
like
saying there's a 5% of basically the people, like, you know, the listeners of our show, and...
Well, that's just it. Is that... It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, and the thing is that the first rule of getting into a knife fight is accept that you're going to get cut.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Then everything from there is just survival.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, and this is the way you need to think. You need to triage your life a little bit. Okay, sharpen up your mind.
Get punched, because seriously, it don't hurt that much.
Get punched and get over it.
Yeah.
Well, realize that you're still breathing.
Yes.
Laughing hurts more.
The thing is, though, the schools don't teach that kind of mentality. They don't in any way. It's, you know, walk away from the bully, he'll lose interest, you know.
No. The lions will always chase the fleeing gazelle.
Yeah.
I remember big posters, like, from ceiling to bottom of the school that were all teaching things like that, and those motivational posters and things like that.
You can be anything you want.
Wait a minute. Remember, we're talking schools here, so they're supposed to be teaching history, right?
Yeah.
Appeasement works, doesn't it?
Wow. Isn't that right, Poland?
Let's not talk about that.
But, you know, Cave Troll, I don't know if you were like this in elementary school too, but like grade 5, grade 6, when everyone's got the hormones going crazy, yeah, you would get into fist fights, and the teachers were cool with that.
Actually, funny story about that. me and this guy were actually arguing over a girl for the dance in grade 6. And we were out playing in gym class, and he nailed me across the back with a lacrosse stick.
Ooh.
And I turned around, and I charged him, and I kicked him square in the nuts and dropped him.
Respect my authority.
Rochambeau.
I can so see you as Cartman.
Like, it was a full soccer kick. I got to kick you square in the nuts. But the thing is that when he dropped, that's when the teacher noticed this was all going on. So I'm the one who got hauled into the principal's office.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Okay, and so he's going on and on about how he's going to suspend me and how he thinks less of me and blah, 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 blah. And my grandmother comes in to pick me up, and I'm sitting outside the office waiting for her to pick me up. She comes, and I explained to her what happened. You know, he nailed me across the back with this stick, and I went down, and then I got back up, and he was charging me, so I charged at him, and I just ended up kicking him in the nuts. And she's like, well, where's that other kid? I don't know. And she's like, okay, and what's going on? Well, I've been suspended. And she's like, really? Wait here. And this is my grandmother, okay? She's Scottish, by the way. She goes into the office and closes the door really slowly. And then I hear this, what the fuck are you doing with my kid? And she goes off. It was amazing. Like, there was paint peeling from the walls. Like, the plaster was cracking and there was a rumbling sound in the earth.
It was a great moving of parts.
And I was back in school the next day. No problems.
And the principal was never seen again.
Yeah, and that's another thing that comes into this is parent involvement.
Yeah, no shit.
Okay, like...
Stop blaming TV, stop blaming Christ. The teachers, blame yourselves,
yes.
For fuck's sake.
You know what my dad did? I was getting bullied for a long time. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. We kept going to the teachers, they didn't do anything. He's like, hit him next time.
Yep.
And I was like in grade 4 or 5 or something. So, kid pushed me, I punched him in the nose. But once again, guess who got in trouble?
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, see me, I just ended up with back problems.
I had a very similar story, and I think most of the people here at the table know it. I might have told it before on the air, and if I have, I apologize. My first day of school, I got kicked out of school because I followed my father's advice, which went very much the same way. My dad, when I was in preschool, in the summer camp, I got... PVM knows the story I'm about to tell.
Yeah, he's already laughing.
Turn your phone off.
Oh, he broke
his
own
rule. Here. We're on the air. I'll talk to you in a bit. Bye-bye.
He just broke his own rule.
Bastard.
So, anyhow, I was expecting that Malcontent might have called during the show.
So that's why I left it on. So, anyways.
So, anyhow, I'd gotten pushed around, and, you know, I was like 5 years old, so I was crying about it and everything. And my dad says, no son of mine is ever going to do that. If you get picked on, you pick back. You don't put up with it. You fight. You always basically do it. If they hit you, you hit them. They shove you, you shove them. Whatever it is, you don't start it, but you finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And then my father proceeded to show me how to throw a punch.
Yeah, my grandfather was the same way. I don't know what it was about that generation.
Yeah. Well, remember...
That was the last true generation.
Yeah.
Remember, my dad was old Irish, and we won't talk about some of his problems in New York. Anyhow. So it's my first day of school. Parochial school, Catholic school. So there's wee little Uncle Dak in a little tiny suit with a little tiny tie, and I've never worn a tie before in my entire life. And so I'm sitting here pulling at it, yanking at it, and over comes the penguin, literally full nun in a habit. This is how long ago it was, and ruler. Right across the hand. Well, I can't believe it. So I think back to what my father said, and I lean over and I slap her hand. And the eyes on the penguin went like global. Like, I mean, it was like looking at a giant squid deep in the sea. It was just too. And she smacks me across the face. This is before they removed corporal punishment from schools back when I went. And so she slaps me across the face. Well, I'll admit it, I began to cry. And I stand up and I haul off and I punch her right between the tits. And I drop her on her ass. Well, she gets up and she drags me by the scruff of the neck, and she literally drags me down to the principal's office, and they call my father, and then the principal proceeds to get out a strap that they are going to take to me. Well, like I said, we literally lived across the street from this school and this church, and my father comes in and literally pushes the door open and sees them struggling with me, trying to get me bent over the desk so they can spank me. My dad grabbed the guy by the throat, lifted him up, said, "My son is leaving. If you ever touch him or touch another child I hear about, no one will hear from you again." And we walked out. And 2 days later, I went to public school for the rest of my career.
And you now have a reserved seat in hell.
Yeah, I punched a nun.
Anchorage down there. It's very warm. I'm living in a hotel. Everyone's welcome.
Be sharing a lake of fire with you.
Boathouse.
Think
water,
about it.
It's water skiing on Thursdays. Yeah. Oh, sorry, fire skiing.
Timeshare opportunities.
The rat pack doesn't show every
God.
Sunday.
Don't say that. You know they'll try to sell it.
Exactly.
Next time I'm going to go to fucking Mexico, I'm going to be walking. Timeshare and hello, senores. Sorry, honey. Anyhow, so shall we move on to Tales from the Stupid?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who wants to start?
I'll Cricket? Volunteer, I guess, if everyone else is a pussy. Jeez. All right, so my idiot of the moment is the four people that tried to dry hump me all weekend. Oh my god. Okay, let me explain this to you guys.
Yeah, I'm going to have to admit.
Okay, people, lube.
Exactly.
It's
very
really good. Every time I do this show now, it's not going to be just idiot of the week. It's going to be things that you think are cool to do to chicks that really, really aren't.
It'll be an educational experience.
You're nodding way too much over there, Kitty.
Oh, she's got her own stories. We should drag her in on this. I will tell the coffee story if you do not, but... Miss Kitty and I are not exactly bad looking. We have decent sized tits. We have nicely shaped asses. We are not skinny bitches. We are not fat bitches. We are fine, curvy ladies. Why the fuck does that make it okay for you to sneak up behind me, rub your junk against my ass, grab my hips, smell my hair, and go, "You are so hot"?
That's not okay.
Wow.
Repeat after me. That's not okay.
Wow, that is so smooth. Can I get notes?
Some of the lines that I heard while I was trying to flee these idioms included, "Didn't I see you in my Japanese class?"
Nani?
Wow, you know, from now on, every time I look at you, I'm going to think hentai porn. You and tentacles just go together. I don't know why.
I am a furry. Yeah. The other one was, "Aren't you that roofer I see here every week?"
Roofer?
Roofer? Wow, that is such an attractive pickup line.
How do I go from being the friendly neighborhood disc jockey to, "I'm going to touch you and talk to you about tar"?
Well, at least you hope that's tar. If it's black, you got a problem.
Oh, look, face palm number 10. Face palm number 10.
I haven't stopped.
The one that I didn't even notice until Miss Kitty was dancing in front of me and all of a sudden got a very disturbed look on her face. She looked quite disgusted and I stopped dancing because we were on the dance floor at a club and like, what's going on? And she looks past me and I turn around and there's nothing going on. She whispers into my ear, "Some dude was just grinding on your ass." Huh. Well, he obviously didn't have a very big cock.
Yeah, if you couldn't feel it, I was just going to say.
I'm getting more out of the vibrations from the speakers than out of him, so I'm just going to stand over here, press my ass against the speaker, pretend all these idiots don't exist, and enjoy myself. Thank you very fucking much.
Epic
so, guys.
Fail.
Wow. Yeah, so if you're drunk, don't.
just, if you're not drunk, don't touch, okay? Honestly, if you have an urge, boys, just listen to me. I know there's a lot of guys sitting in their basement right now just going, yeah. Oh my God, a woman is talking to me. I'm so happy.
Your wife's giving you the look. Oh, you are so dead.
Hi, honey. We love you. So the next time you get the urge, boys, to just reach up behind a random girl that you know and think it'll be really cool to see what happens when you grab her hips and push your pelvis into her ass, trust me, fist in face. Not cool. Not cool. You are not hot. You are a douchebag.
Signs you may be a douchebag.
Number 29.
At least one of them was semi-cute, but
and that makes all the difference, doesn't it?
Well, you know what makes it different and what makes it even worse is the fact that I was getting paid by the hour at this time, so
you better rephrase that real quick. just for your own safety.
I know. Well, you know, as a DJ, people want to spend time with you. They think you're cool. Oh, hey, how's it going, music lady? I want to spend time with you and be the life of the party, just like you. Well, you can't. You are not as cool as this. Fuck off.
No arrogance there.
Don't worry. I'll tell you how I really feel.
By the way, I wish you had told the story about, you were telling me about the woman at the wedding. You were telling me.
Oh, okay. So, other DJs, let me explain something to you. I'm better, okay? All right. So, here's the story of why when you meet someone in the same profession as you, you usually have a little respect. As security people, if you meet other security people, you have, you know, something similar to tell.
You have a lot to learn about the security.
Yeah, no, it's more commiseration.
I understand misery. What you're doing, but I'm the only person I know who does that.
Okay, so maybe I'm wrong. Okay, but all right, well, I'll just get to my story and you guys can tell me what you think. But I am DJing a wedding, I'm setting up my equipment, and this fat, ugly bitch walks up to me. And she's in her, I don't know, mid-40s, mid-50s, I don't know, but she's, you know, she's not attractive. She's been around the block more than once, and you can tell by the look in her face and the way she dresses and the way she waddles like a freaking...
Okay, go on.
Anyways, so, I really liked her right from the get-go. I felt a camaraderie when she said to me, oh, how much did you pay for this equipment? Oh, it's not yours? Oh, you work for a company? Oh my God, you know, I'm a DJ too, but I own my own company, and it's really big, and I would never leave the house for less than $500 a gig. So obviously, you are not as cool as me, because I make a lot more money than you. And I'm like, bitch, how many gigs do you do a year? That's right, I work every single week, and I make probably, oh, about 20 times as much as you ever do in a year. So why don't you just back the fuck off? And of course, the way I explained this to her was, oh, well, you know, I'm just a girl and I just work for a company. You know, that's really cool. Why don't you visit me later? You know, brain to mouth filter. It's really good on me. So
really? I would never have guessed that. Go on.
Well, you know, I have to behave. People are paying me to be professional.
Okay.
So I do the gig. Everyone's having a great time. Everyone's on the dance floor. They wanted a very specific type of music, which was not anywhere near what she was requesting. She kept coming up to me all night going, you need to play Sex on the Beach. Which is like a lame-ass version of Aqua, and Aqua is bad enough. Everyone on the dance floor wanted to hear like the Town Pants version of Rasputin. They were hardcore, indie rock, weird, you know, like, rock!
Yeah.
Rock. I want to hear Sex on the Beach. No. I don't even have that song. I'm really sorry, honey, but I can't help you. She starts screaming at me, horseshit! Horseshit, you don't have that song. What kind of a fucking DJ are you? Okay, All right, you can stop waving your open glass of liquor over my $2,000 turntable set and just please go enjoy yourself somewhere else. Thank you very much. Anyways, long story short, gig ends. Bride and groom, thrilled. Clients, thrilled. Guests, oh my god, we love you. You're so awesome. I go to get my boxes out of the closet, start packing up my gear, when fat bitch corners me, starts pushing me, and saying, I don't like your attitude. You were rude to me. You didn't play any music that was any good. You suck.
And that's when she got thrown solution? Out of the bus, Your Honor.
Cunt punt.
It's universal. Kick somebody in the crotch. Doesn't matter if you're a guy or a girl. It hurts. Never heard that before?
No, I haven't.
Mr. Safe Word just learned a new safe word.
Yeah, I put her down pretty quick.
Cave Troll?
I've got an oldie but a goodie.
Is it the return of Esposito?
Oh, we must explain.
No.
Okay.
No first names, no identifications.
Right.
I
get us sued.
I've got one about how I stopped bouncing in Wally, and the reason I stopped bouncing in Wally. End of the night, okay, whole bunch of drunk people in the bar, and there's this one guy that's just had way too much, and we throw him out as usual, okay. So I'm going around and I'm getting the rest of the jokers out of the bar, and my buddy turns to me and goes, "Hey, that guy." Yeah, he's in the parking lot. I think he just hit his girlfriend with his car. Like, how did he hit his own? Aren't they sharing a car? And why is he driving? Who's on this? But apparently it's my problem. So I go running out there, and there's this car. Okay, I can't remember what it was. It was a Ford something, and it was like an 80s car. And a woman lying in front of the car. And a guy in the seat trying to get out of the car to look to see if he hit anything. And that's what I see when I come running out. So I go running down there. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? And he sees me. And he goes to jump back into the car. Now, I'm thinking he's going to try to run away. And he's going to run away over his girlfriend. Because I have this effect on people. They stop thinking when I come charging at them. So I actually stop for a second. And I'm like, okay, if I stop chasing him, maybe he won't run. But I at the same time, the other bouncers have gone around me and have gone around to the side and are pulling her out of the way. So I'm like, okay, well, this is now on. So they're giving her medical attention. I go and I put myself between his door and that so he can't close it. And I'm trying to get his keys out. And I can't get to his keys because he starts elbowing me in the face. And so I feed him one back. You know, we're elbowing each other. I'm trying to reach for his keys, and he jams the car into reverse and stands on the accelerator. So the car goes backwards. I get a door to the chest. Now, most people fall over. The door fell over. Like, I pushed the door completely forward into the car, and then the frame caught my shoulder. And I'm not bending a frame. So I go down and the car comes at my face and I roll and my head is 2 inches from the wheel as it goes past my face. Okay, now...
Is that what made that mark?
Yeah. Well, I could read the fucking fine print on the tire as it goes past my head. So I stand up again and then I fall over. Because my ankle is broken. And so I stand up again, and the guy is fighting with another guy, and I am so angry I don't really know what I'm doing, so I actually kick the door, the rear passenger door.
With the bad foot?
With the bad foot. Oh. Okay, because I'm standing on my good foot, so I kick it with my bad foot. I put a size 14 boot print in the back door of his car, and... And then I fall over again.
Yeah.
So the other bouncers are now pulling him out of the car through the windshield. And because there's a few bikers that are helping them.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, because they were on the far side of the car treating the woman. So literally they go through the windshield and they pull him out through the windshield. And then they carry him down the block bouncing him off various objects.
Yeah.
And they actually throw him... They open up the doors and they throw him into the lobby of the police station.
My that's God, like a block that's like and a half down. That is a long block too. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. They threw him into the police.
They carried him all the way down there, bouncing him off objects. They just threw him into the lobby. Like, here, he's your problem.
Hey, wait a minute, that's Monopoly. Go to jail. Do not pass go.
Do not collect $200. So the ambulance arrives. Long story short, they go to hop me into the ambulance, and they're hopping me in. And they hop me up onto the step to get into the ambulance, and they drive my head into the top of the door. I lose consciousness.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Okay.
Cave trolls and gravity.
And I wake up in the ambulance, and they're like, "You're okay, you're okay." And they're cutting my boots off, and I'm like, "No, no, you're not. These are brand new compacts. Cut the laces." I'm like, "Are you an idiot?" So they do that, and I get to the hospital, and I'm in the emerge, and I'm telling the emergency nurse, what happened? I'm past the... They put me right through past the lobby, yep, into the emergency. And the woman is in the same emergency ward as I'm in. And I'm like, I was saving her. I got run over by a car. And they're like, oh, that's, you know, wow, that's brave of you. I'm like, no, it was fucking stupid. How do you, you know, how did I get... The car didn't miss me. You know, like, what the fuck was I doing? And in walks the guy.
Oh God! You've got to be kidding
me. That was driving the car. The cops let him go after, after an hour. They took all his particulars down, set him a court date, and released him. So he thought it was a good idea to go pick up his girlfriend from the hospital.
Wow.
Now at this point, I lost a little bit of memory. I went from being on the bed to halfway across the room with a nurse on my back, one hugging my waist, and a doctor grabbing me by the throat.
No, you can't kill him in a yard.
And I'm dragging... They were all dragged about 10 feet before I stopped with a broken ankle.
Yeah.
And the only thing that brought me out of it was the battle axe. The old battle axe emergency nurse was like, "Do you want to get treated?" Like, you can sit in holding all night with a broken ankle. Would you prefer that? And I'm like, all right, but he's the one who hit me with the car. You might want to do something about that. And that's when the two security guards who had come in the door, they come in the door, and I'm like, that's the guy that hit me with the car. They fucking spear tackle him. Drop him and drag him out of the hospital. And I'm like, all right. Now,
that'll do.
Now, this is just a general story of what happens to stupid bouncers, okay? But this is not my tale of stupid. The true stupid of the story is that the woman got treated and then released... Went home with the guy.
Yeah, of course.
I don't get that shit.
Okay.
I really don't.
She, and her story was that when they left the bar, they had an argument over him driving. She was standing in front of the car, and he actually hit her with the car.
Yeah.
To get her out of the way so he could drive home drunk.
You know the first thing they teach cops? Literally, one of the first things they teach cops about dealing with situations is never get in the middle of a domestic.
Yeah.
If you do not have enough people to have one person on everybody in the room, you don't jump in. And that's if you have some guy beating a woman, you literally, you basically taser the guy, and then you basically put the gun on the woman.
Yeah, no, that's
seriously,
standard.
Literally, because you will get jumped every time.
My martial arts instructor was an ex-BPD, and he got knifed in the back while he was arresting a husband for beating her. The wife knifed him in the back while he was arresting the husband after he had beaten her.
Yep. And every single time.
I apply that every time. I don't go near domestics. No, yep. if there's a man and a woman arguing, I go in with three bouncers.
Yeah, I always basically take enough people that you have at least one or two people for every person in the room.
Easy. Because there's always going to be a spectator jump in
yep.
when you try to separate the woman out.
Yep.
And then you need one for each of the other two.
And you need somebody to watch your back.
Yeah.
Every time.
Bitches be crazy.
Bitches be crazy. So anyways, that's my little bit of stupid. It's just like, mostly on my part, because, well, I... thought I was Superman.
Yeah.
And learned differently.
Well, see, no, the moral of that story is you gotta follow my rule and be temporarily distracted so you don't see the car door coming at you first, and then it doesn't hurt as much.
Well, the thing is that I found out when I got to the... Because I had to sue ICBC.
Oh, you had to, yeah.
And I got it as a hit and run. Yeah. They actually awarded me it as a hit and run. He wrote off his car. I wrote off his car. I tore the door off the hinges and the damage to the rear door and the windshield and the interior. I broke the steering column on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
I tore the door off. I kicked in the rear door and the bikers smashed his windshield. And then the courts awarded me $26,000. Nice.
That was a great sum.
Oh, I
it was worth it.
Now, I've been laid up at home with food poisoning for the last week, week and a half or so. So I have an old story of my own, or there was a mind-fucking stupid interest story I saw online that I could do.
Let's go to mind-fuck.
Okay. Everyone's probably aware there's a major drug war going on in Mexico right now.
What?
Really?
You don't say.
I'm just covering all my bases. All
right.
I don't even have TV in any of this shit.
Now, a big thing the Mexican cartels do is they build homemade armored cars to transport their gunmen and their resources. So, the Zetas, the big cartel in the north, built El Monstruo 2011. This was actually a reasonably well-built armored car. It's got sloped armor. It's made from titanium composites. It can reach 48K an hour and can carry 12 people. Relatively well-designed. It has...
That's an APC.
It has Ford Pinto tires.
It's what they had left over.
So the flaw in the plan.
So what happened was the Mexican army encountered this thing, and they managed to capture the fire in a single shot to get the armored body because they realized it has Ford Pinto tires. Like, oh, look at that. Bang. Bang.
Oh, my lord.
Oh, you failed.
So there's a picture of this thing sitting in the middle of the desert. The tires are completely flat, and all the gunmen with their hands behind them, not a single bullet hole in the armored body.
Never have your armored car built by someone who's willing to be paid in heroin.
Wow. Fuck wow.
Damn.
That was just incredible.
How do you follow that?
Damn.
Raise the bar.
The only stupid story I have is my own stupidity, and Dak can back me up with this because he's the one who called the ambulance.
Oh, yes.
He usually is.
Yeah, actually.
I had some dental issues, and I was had a appointment scheduled to get them taken care of. But over the weekend, while I was waiting for that appointment, because I didn't really consider it an emergency, I was taking a few painkillers, and I went nighty-night.
He passed out in the middle of talking to me. He fainted. Wow. His eyes rolled up in the back of his head, and he began to shake, and he collapsed.
Ooh.
Mm.
And because I couldn't get him to stop shaking before he came around, I actually thought he might be having a seizure. So that's why I called an ambulance. I actually thought it might even be a minor grand mal.
So. Other than that, it was a fairly pleasant evening.
Yeah. Except for your poor mom had to come down to get you.
Yeah, well, that's another story.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, too. That was a really long time ago.
So, yeah, medication.
Yeah, I learned that this weekend.
Moral of this week's story, read the label.
Well, it said, don't take more than so many of these in a 24-hour period, and I'd already taken double that during half the days.
Wow.
So you were talking with the purple unicorns.
I remember them.
You've been quiet for a while there.
They're quite striking if you look at them in the right light.
As long as they weren't fisting kids.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, PVM hasn't heard that yet. Okay, that's a catchphrase for the show. Unicorns fisting kittens.
That's how wrong it is.
Actually, my girlfriend's mom said when I let slip the
Wait, what? Why does the term fisting come up in your girlfriend's mom?
No, it doesn't. It's somewhat unrelated.
Somewhat.
I let slip the fact that I was doing a radio show with Uncle Dak, and my girlfriend's mom asked, when can we listen to your show? Never.
So you had to explain why.
No, I just said never.
Funny, my dad asked the same question. I mentioned unicorns fisting kittens, and now he's oddly interested.
Wow.
They have a secret closet in the house.
When my mom found out I was doing this today, she's like, well, how do you have the energy for that? You were out all night. Besides, what did you do anyway? Oh, you know, went to the club, got dry humped by some guys, and then Kitty tried to dry hump a police officer, which he was, you know.
What?
That was actually doing. Really funny. What that, was that, funny. That kind of made my night.
Come here. You come, have to do this. Come here. Come.
Audience participation.
It's a new little theme on the Uncle Jack Show.
Speak right here into the mic. Hi. Tell us all of your pain.
To tell us, hello, Miss Kitty. How you doing?
I'm good.
Speak into the mic, honey.
Good.
Okay, now tell us your story.
So tell, show us on the doll where you touched the nice police
officer. He told me to do it.
That's what they all said. Let me guess, he was dressed like that. He was just asking for it. Right?
But okay. I couldn't go through with it because his boss was there. It was the no.
You mean
stop.
After all that, you didn't put out?
No. Tease.
Well, I missed half of it. I only came out when she was kind of like running away. And
Mayhem, were you there from the beginning?
No, actually, I wasn't.
We were both inside dealing with. Well, douchebags.
Really?
Yeah.
At the bar,
like,
you say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Safe words. Last night at the bar, too. Lucky bastard.
Yeah. All I know is that the police officer was complaining that one of his cohorts had been dry humped by a very drunk male while they were waiting for everyone to clear the bar. And so this police officer was complaining, gee, you know, I wish someone would dry hump me. Not a guy in particular, but gee, you know, somebody. At least my night would be interesting. After which Miss Kitty goes, oh, really?
And you chase down a cop and dry hump
him? Yeah,
and
I was like, well, come here then. He's like, no, stop. Walking away and chasing after him.
But you couldn't catch him because of the little legs and everything.
Remember, short, happy Asian, gorgeous girl, tall, burly cop.
No, it's just men in uniforms.
Do me a favor, tell me your joke that you told me about your background.
My what?
Your background about your half Scottish. What did you say about it?
I have a bad temper and I can't drive.
Actually, didn't you tell me it as you couldn't drive and you have a bad temper about it or something like that? Was what you said originally? Okay.
No.
All right.
No. Fail.
All right. Fail. Okay.
But you killed it.
She can fly?
But I forgot my rice hat, so. Save that for another day.
Oh.
Anybody else?
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I could tell one. This story I like to call the elusive Uncle Dak. Now, this took place
Uncle Dak.
A couple years ago now. This is back when we were working at a all-night diner.
Oh,
for
God.
A while. Mm. And it was going on for 2 years, and we were actually coming to the end of our little run there. And it was about a couple weeks before we were finished up, and it was one of the last nights we were there. We were all sitting there having a good time and everything, and it was me, Dak, and I believe we've mentioned him on the show before. Leprechaun. Yeah, was there as well. So we were all just sitting there, and it was about the beginning of the night. It was usually a 2-hour shift, 2 to 4, when all of a sudden there's this like eruption of glass smashing and you know, people screaming and everything.
Monkeys throwing feces.
Pretty much. And so we get up from the counter and we look back at the back table. And there's an entire group of guys. I'd say probably like what, 14.
There
or
were
so?
There were a total of because actually I was funny. I was just going to tell this story tonight, and so it's weird that you would start off.
Oh, so
with
yeah,
it.
We could actually do this together.
So it was 14 East Indian males. Yeah. Now what had happened was somebody's cousin had offended somebody else, and so the guy's own cousin proceeded to smash a glass into the side of his face. Now, the first one just dropped him down. The second glass, literally somebody hands him another glass off the table.
By that point, we had gotten there.
We'd gotten up, and I'm trying to literally, I've got the table in the way and about a half dozen other guys that are trying to push back. So I'm trying to push through them to get the guy who is being beaten by all of his cousins.
I think I was there.
No, you weren't. You weren't, no.
No,
it's
okay.
Must have been a different time.
And the second glass, when it slams into the side of the guy's face, It tears his cheek from up around the
okay,
just,
yeah, no, I'm thinking something
just
else.
Around the
just
cheek,
around
the
cheekbone,
cheekbone
all the
way down to his jaw, and yeah. Literally I could see his teeth through it.
Yeah.
So that is one of the worst injuries I've ever seen in a
fight. I've seen that before. I saw someone palm a highball glass and hit someone with the rim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bitch slap him.
Oh yeah.
So
cut him right to the teeth.
At that point, I got smart, went low, and when he dropped, I grabbed his feet and pulled him underneath the table.
Yeah,
and we
then
pulled.
Then you passed him off to me.
Passed him off to Mayhem there, and then that's when everything went fucking sideways.
That wasn't sideways enough.
They turned on us. So it's now three security guards versus 13 East Indian males, all of them hammered drunk.
So you waited for them to get back up, you know, to make it fair, right?
And I am not exaggerating when I say this. At one point, I had three guys in a headlock. I had one under my left arm. I had one guy under my right arm. And I had the third guy by the
throat
with my hand that I had the guy tucked under my arm with. And at that point, somebody went to throw a punch at me. Now, apparently, I didn't know this punch was coming, but somehow my guard sense had went tingling, and I stepped forward. And when I did,
the punch came through past Uncle Dak's head. He was trying to hit him in the back of the head, goes past him, over the shoulder, and nails me in the side of the face. Now,
thanks for taking one for the team there.
I'd also like to add, about a month prior to this, I was involved in another altercation at a pub where... Shut up! Frick. I'd like to add that another altercation about a month earlier I had been involved in. I was trying to pull these two guys apart at a pub, and I was actually elbowed in the face by the guy that I was pulling off. He didn't actually mean to actually hit me, but it was an accident and whatever. But I had a bruise up the side of my face from about my earlobe down to the bottom of my chin.
The bruise.
No, the bruise had finally, after a month,
healed.
And that night, I got hit in the same side in the exact same fucking spot.
And the bruise came back.
I think we finally found your douchebag magnet.
That's the side of your face
and
right
the bruise
there.
Bruise came back the very next day.
But that's not the interesting part of the story. This happens all the time, funny enough. But we had just gotten into the altercation, and it was literally 30 seconds goes by.
Everybody in the restaurant that was there called the cops at the same time. So they had, everybody was on the phone, like, calling the cops. And at that point, the gang task force was just down at the pub next door, and they came running down. So literally, they came in there when all of a sudden these, and I'm juggling human beings. Literally, I'm literally juggling people.
I think Leprechaun had one up against the wall. I had a couple myself.
The manager, who we had always thought was the most cowardly individual you could imagine, whenever there
was
a problem.
Well, not cowardly. I'd say passive.
Yeah,
you know, just,
he would,
you know,
never would stand up. The reason we were there is because literally, whenever they have a drunk person, the manager himself didn't have the balls to kick the person out. They had to have us there to kick a drunk out. So all of a sudden, he goes freaking berserk, and he has two guys. You know the manager I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He had two guys
by
the
throat. That's amazing,
by
the way.
It was something to see, I'll tell you that.
So you got the entire gang task force coming in, too?
Yeah, and they see this, and they literally start leaping over tables. They're running. They grab the East Indian family sees this and decides to kick open the rear door, which is not supposed to be able to be opened.
Yeah.
And they go piling out, and we literally pile out there. And then a couple of them should stand up and just try to do the calm walk away. La, 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 la.
We cops, did nothing.
Yeah, cops basically, I scream for one of the cops. They come in and it's like, that's the son of a bitch that just knifed. I said knife the guy, which actually wasn't true, but that's what I said. And I think I should have rethought what I said because they fell on this guy. Like, we had two really big...
No, I'm strangely comfortable with that.
Really big
gang. Well, no, the sergeant for the gang task force in Vancouver is this mountain of a man.
Yeah, yeah.
He makes me look small.
Yeah.
Like, he's 6'8".
Yeah.
Okay, like 400... easy 400 pounds.
Oh, well, they jumped on top of these guys. They cuffed everyone, and they start bringing them back in. So out of all of it, there was one guy who was a real mouthpiece, but he hadn't really thrown any punches in all of this. He was just the guy who was just yelling in my face during all of this. And so he's about the only one not cuffed, being taken to the cars. And so at this moment, this is when a miracle occurs. This is when God actually entered the room. This little tiny girl walks up to me, and she goes, she hands me what I thought was her phone, and she goes, "Do you think they'll want to see this?" And I went, "Your phone?" She goes, "It's a camera. I recorded the whole thing." I almost cried at that point. And I looked down at her and I said, with all sincerity, I said, "Please don't take this in the wrong way, but right now I love you." And I'm like, "Oh, Constable!"
And away we go!
So the cop is looking at it and he's playing it back and he's going, "Oh, I would have kicked his ass. Oh,
I would have knocked him the fuck out.
Oh, I would have knocked him the fuck out. Motherfucker. Oh, fuck. That's it. They're all going." So she's going back and she's over there talking with the cops because they're going to use her as a witness. She said, "Would you mind?" And she goes, "No, I'd love to. I thought it was terrible what they did." Yes! And I'm like, "Where the fuck did..." I actually turned to you and I said, "Where the fuck did we get her, right?" Because I'm thinking, this has got to be... It's got to be
a gang.
Yeah, it's got to be a plant or something, you know? So we're standing there, and the mouthpiece comes back. Now, he's the only one not...
In handcuffs
in the back of a squad car, and they're calling in a paddy wagon. They're literally getting these guys a paddy wagon for this shit. So we have the last guy of the night. And he's sitting there, he's mouthing off, fucking get your asses kicked, you wait, this is bullshit, motherfucker, this is all racist, blah, blah, blah. And he's going on and on and on and on.
They always
and on.
Say they're coming back, but I wait for them,
and they never do. I know.
I brought a picnic lunch and everything, and they never come back.
And so this girl comes out that is friends with the girl with the camera. Now, there's the quiet, sweet one with the camera, and this is the mouthy chick. Why is Miss Kitty looking proud at this moment?
She's mine.
So she goes on. She goes, "You guys are assholes. The way you treated those people in there, that is fucking it is unconscionable. It is no way anybody should put up with that shit. You should be ashamed of yourselves." And he's like, "Fuck you, bitch." And all of a sudden, I literally saw snap. And I was like, I literally had enough time or presence of thought to go, "Ah, fuck."
Time slowed down.
Yeah, and he saw this, and she leaps off the stairs to go at this guy, and I take one step, grabbed her
in midair,
spun around and put her back on the thing, and I put both hands on the side of her head. I said, "I appreciate it really a lot. He's not fucking worth it. Just sit down. Trust me, he's going away now." And at that point, I holler for the cops again, the constables, and they come back and he says, "Didn't I tell you to go the fuck home? How fucking stupid are you?" So he grabs the guy and he starts to duck walk him away. He puts cuffs on him because the guy actually tries to plant his feet.
Yeah.
And he's like, "You are really stupid." And he puts the cuffs on him and they start walking him away. And then I can't help it. At this point, I just start laughing. And he's like, "Fuck you, fat ass." And the cop doesn't just, like, slap him in the back of the head. He punches him in the back of the head. And he's, "I told you to shut the fuck up." And at that point, I'm in just tears. And Leprechaun...
I think we had all collapsed.
Yeah,
at that
Leprechaun
point.
Is like, you know that giggle that he does?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it just went on and on and on. Oh, God. That was a good
night. I believe I heard the constable say something along the lines when he was throwing him in the back of the car. Saying something along the lines of, "If you puke in my car, I'm going to fucking taser you and leave you on the side of the road."
See, police brutality is funny. In the right plans. The right people, I should say.
Right people, yeah.
Well, I was going to do a quote of the week, but I think that's it. I think everybody... Oh, you got one, Longbeard? Okay, so I think we're going to end that. So I will try to make sure that the next episode is a little bit more planned. So we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Okay, we'll blame it on the hangover.
Yeah. Blame it on the hangover today.
About the movie?
Yeah, I blame everything on that fucking movie.
Say goodnight, boys and girls.
Goodnight, boys and girls.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Goodnight.
Goodnight, Gracie.